special old hymn of the faith, Were You There? 332.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord. We'll stand. Oh, man, I tell you. We had a gal, church I was pastoring in Maine some years ago. My son's pastoring it now. But there was a gal there, Judy Putnam. And what an angelic voice Judy had. And she used to sing this song. Oh, man. I mean, just melt your heart. Were You There?
Melt your heart to sing it.
Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, folks, let's stand and sing, Were You There? First, third, and fourth. Oh, praise the Lord. Good testimonies tonight. The Lord is working. We just need to stay close to Him in these last days.
When they crucified my Lord, were You there when they crucified my Lord?
Seated, church. Glory to God. I'm so glad that being born of God causes us to have been there when He rose up from the dead, from the grave. And we are in Him, positionally speaking. Glory to God. Oh, what a blessing to be with you all on a Wednesday night. I love midweek service. It's just so good to come out from amongst the busy hustle and bustle of the work week, you know, and to come together as God's believing people and seek His face. Let's grab our Bibles tonight, and we're back in the book of Jude once again. Our studies in Jude's epistle bring us tonight to verse 16. Plenty of pew Bibles there. Verse 16, and not much further to go, and I got a surprise for you, and we complete the book of Jude. Of course, Wednesday nights are dedicated to expositional exegesis of Scripture. We go verse by verse, word by word, line by line, precept upon precept, amen? So we will be studying another book after this. I'm not going to tell you yet what that is, but it's going to be good. It's all good. Amen. Look with me here. Remain seated. Look with me here in Jude. And we come tonight, beloved, to verse 16. And last week, of course, we saw the great white throne judgment that Enoch, the prophet, prophesied of, the second coming and the great white throne. Verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you for verses 16 and 17 tonight. And oh Lord, we're so grateful for the living word of God. Lord, we're thankful that it is the breath, the holy oracles of God. We're so grateful that the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Lord, we're so thankful that it hath a supernatural divine power to sanctify the believer. I'm so glad, Lord, that you have ordained the instrumentality of your word to cleanse and to purify and to purge and to make us clean on the inside, affecting the outside. Lord, we just ask you to bless it to us tonight. Help us to glean from these verses what your Holy Spirit would have us to know and strengthen us in our walk of faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, here in verse 16, after having digressed from his subject, once again, to the judgment of the great white throne, Jude comes back immediately, turning his attention back to his topic. Look at the first word of verse 16. These. We see this word over and over in the book, because Jude continues to come back to his subject. And his subject is these false teachers, these false professors, these deluded deceivers and seducers of the Christians. They had crept in. Here he's about to enlarge a bit further on the true character of these evil seducers and their modus operandi, their mode of operation, that is. But let me give you some things here tonight from my text. First, notice he labels them as murmurers. Verse 16, these are murmurers. Now, observe here, beloved, that those who like to murmur lay themselves under a very bad character. They murmur against God and his divine providence. They murmur against God's people and their godly lifestyle. Murmurous, the Greek word there is gogastis. It means one, listen, it means one who discontentedly complains primarily against God. One who discontentedly complains primarily against God. Are you a murmurer? Because murmuring should have no place in the Christian life. What is murmuring? Murmuring is, lousy, no good. That's murmuring. You know, when you're murmuring, you're speaking under your breath so the person won't hear you, but you're complaining about that person. Murmuring, it's of the flesh. It's not of the spirit. Now, notice the meaning. They are one who is discontentedly complaining against others. Discontented, finding fault with everyone in your life except you. Everybody else is to blame, not me. Oh, I'm Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, right? Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. The source of murmuring, listen to me, the source of murmuring is discontentedness. You're going to murmur and complain about others when you are not content. And you will not be content without the Spirit of God controlling your life. Look with me here in 1 Timothy 6:6. He says, don't turn there. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. It's a great prize to win, this godliness with contentment. Go to Exodus chapter 16. You know when someone murmurs, God hears it? Exodus chapter 16. God had just delivered the children of Israel out of where? Egypt. They couldn't free themselves, so God came down and opened the Red Sea. Remember that? Look what happens here in chapter 16. How quickly they turn aside. In Exodus 16, look with me at verse number 7. This boggles my mind. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he heareth your what?
Murmurings
against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to fall, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now notice here that Moses says, when you murmur against somebody, you're murmuring against the Lord. And that's why Paul said, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. We're supposed to treat people like we want to treat the Lord, right? Because why? Because he created them. And he wants them to come. And if we're murmuring and complaining against them, they're not going to come. John chapter 6, Jesus spoke about murmuring. The Gospel of John. Look in chapter number 6. Here was a bunch of people. All they did was murmur against the Lord. John chapter 6. Murmuring is not good. It destroys your character. In John chapter 6, look with me at verse 43. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, the Pharisees, murmur not amongst yourselves. Now, these Pharisees were murmuring against Jesus and his disciples, and he heard it. They didn't know he heard it. You know he hears everything? You can't hide anything from Jesus. He says, knock it off. You're murmuring, boys. I know what you're thinking, and I know what you're saying there under your breath. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Murmuring is not good. Murmuring. Child of God should not be a murmurer. You've got something to rejoice about. The world, and I understand why they murmur. They're miserable. Look in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 10. Paul says, neither, what?
Murmur
ye, as some of them also murmured. And were what?
Destroyed.
Folks, listen to me. Their murmuring got them destroyed. Murmuring is a serious sin, and we ought not to be guilty of it. But secondly, back in Jude, not only does he label them as murmurers, he calls them, secondly, complainers. Look at verse 16 again. These are murmurers, complainers. Complainers. Listen, beloved. A murmuring, complaining temper, indulged and expressed, exposes one as very weak, at least, and for the most part, very wicked, because it comes from the inside out. They're never happy. Well, I don't like the way they're treating me. I don't like the way they're doing this, that, and the other. Complaining, murmuring, groping, and moaning. See, God doesn't like it. They complain about everything. They're never happy. You'd met them. You ever see somebody coming and you're like, oh boy, here he comes, you know. Here we go. You know what's coming. Well, I this and I that. Why don't you get saved? Why don't you stop murmuring and get saved, man? Go to Job chapter 7. Murmuring is not good. Complaining. Always complaining about something. You know what we need to do? Folks, she knows some people like that. See that? Here's what she knows. She works with them. Some of the family, eh? We all got family members like that. Now, in Job chapter 7, Job chapter 7, watch this. What did Job do when the Lord smote him? He complained, didn't he? Until he met God in chapter 42, one-on-one, he was a complainer. Look at it. In Job chapter 7, look with me at verse number 11. Job writes, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. Uh-oh. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Here, Job was not in the spirit. He was in the flesh. And he was complaining about God, Lucas.
Alright, so here's my question. So before the book of Job was written, would you say that before all this happened, that Job could have been a complainer even before?
I'm not sure, because he had a righteous character. He was a godly man. And it was because of the affliction and the trial he was going through was so horrific. If you think about his case, I think I'd complain too, you know. But he got right. He got his heart right. My point here is that when he was going through his trial, listen, he was complaining. And this is easy for us to do because it hurts. And we don't understand this dark tunnel we're going through. And we tend to complain. But when the Holy Spirit grabs us and says, this is for your betterment, this I'm going to bring you out shining like gold, then we stop complaining and we stop worshiping. Amen? Job says, I will speak and complain in the bitterness of my soul. Complaining makes one bitter. Val.
Job was a human being.
Yes, exactly. Job was human, just like us. Infirmities of the flesh, just like us.
But then not right. Yeah, no.
Yeah, Lamentations. Flip over to Lamentations, just past Jeremiah, just past Ezekiel. Before Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3. Look at this verse. Lamentations chapter 3. Look at verse 39. Verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Don't bank on it. You're not gonna get your way against God's will. Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. God doesn't complain. Wherefore doth a living man, what's the next word?
Complain.
A man for the punishment of his sins. Now, Jeremiah the prophet here by the Holy Ghost is saying, why are you complaining when you're only getting what you deserve? But I want to go one step further. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. See? So how can we complain? When God has been so good to us, church, I want to encourage you tonight not to be a murmurer and not to be a complainer, but to be an encourager and to be a worshiper and to be a praiser and to be an edifier. Thirdly, tonight, back in Jude, he says they indulge the flesh. Look at this. Thirdly, in verse 16 of Jude, these are murmurers, complainers, and notice how all these sins go together. They're grouped. Walking after their own lusts. Now, here Jude puts his finger right on the root of the problem. These complaining murmurers give in to the evil desires of the flesh. Listen, those who yield to the sinful appetites are most prone to ungovernable passions. It'll make you short-tempered. Once the flesh is in control, listen, once the flesh is in control, there's no limit to the decadence and debauchery that may ensue. Now, folks, listen to me. These, verse 16, these are not saved people. I'm going to show you that in a minute. But how much more do we need to take this child of God as an admonition? Because we too can get in the flesh. We too can fall into such sins. Listen, somebody said, can a murderer go to heaven? Can an adulterer go to heaven? Can a thief go to heaven? I always say, yeah, if they repent and get born again. Of course they can. See? The key is to let the Holy Spirit take over. Now, listen carefully. Once there's no escape from this bondage apart from the supernatural power of God's Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. I want to show you why they do this. Verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers, murmurers, complainers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, that's carnal, having not the Spirit. Now, look at here, beloved. He says they have not the capital S Spirit of God. That's why they do this. But, let me go one step further. For those who have the Spirit of God, you and I are vulnerable to the like. Paul said, if it weren't for the grace of God, there go I. I am what I am by the grace of God. And once we give in to the flesh, there's no limit to the outpouring of sin that can follow. This is why it's so important to yield to the Spirit. I'm going to show you that here in a minute. But listen carefully. Even for the regenerate, if we do not yield to the indwelling Spirit, we too can find ourselves in bondage to the flesh, fulfilling the evil desires of the flesh. We still have them after we get saved.
Yeah.
Every one of us does.
Yeah.
Every one of us is vulnerable.
Yes.
That's why we need to be on guard every day. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The only thing you can expect from the world is sin. But from the child of God, it not ought not to be. Because we have something to overcome. Look at it. Look at it here in Romans chapter 1. And look with me at verse 24. I want to show you a key that can transform your Christian life. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Why would God give someone up? Look at it. To uncleanness, that's sexual immorality. Through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies, that's physical bodies, between themselves. Drop down to verse 28, gets worse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their what?
Knowledge.
God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now here's what I want you to see. If you do not retain God in your knowledge, your mind, where the devil works, you will fall captive to this type of bondage. Listen to me. The whole key to victory in our Christian life is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is what they reject, and therefore they end up in homosexuality, in adultery, in fornication, in all kinds of wickedness, including witchcraft. Why? They reject the knowledge of God. Now listen to me, child of God. I'm not talking about to get saved. I'm talking about after you're saved. You need the knowledge of God every day. You need the mind of Christ, the renewing of the spirit of your mind. And then your outward man will be affected. It all starts on the inside. What you put in is what comes out, okay? Now, go with me, if you're still in Romans, go to chapter 6. The knowledge of God is what they, in Jude 16, don't have. Because they don't have the Spirit of God. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 6. This is powerful. Verse 11. Likewise reckon. See, the will is involved. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. I am dead unto sin. You've got to tell yourself. But alive unto God. I am alive unto God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch what verse 12 says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, here's the key. You've got two options. Yielding to the Holy Spirit or yielding to the flesh. Paul says, let not sin. Now, when you see sin singular in the Bible, it's talking about your sin nature. It's not talking about individual sins that you commit. It's talking about the sin nature. He's saying, don't let your sin nature rule. Don't let your sin nature control you. You see that? I've talked to preachers who tell me, oh, yeah, you're trying to say we still have a sin nature. Yep. See, no, I got saved from that. The blood of Jesus washed me from my sin nature. Nope. Your blood of Jesus washed you from your sins. You'll never pay the penalty for your sins, but you have a sin nature to deal with. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, not sins, no sin nature, it's singular. If we say that we have no sin nature, we make him a liar. We're calling God a liar because God says you do. I believe God. Amen? And because we have a sin nature, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. This is getting good. This they cannot do in Jude chapter 1, verse 16. Now, go with me to chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13. Here's the key. Here's the key to not yielding to the sin nature, but to the Holy Spirit. Something you have to do daily. Chapter 13 of Romans. Look with me at verse number 14. He says, verse 13, let us, saved people, walk honestly, as in the day, in the light, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But, here's what you need to do. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, he's saying the key to victory daily in the Christian life is dressing right. You gotta dress right. Amen? Do you leave your house naked? Are you better not? You'll get arrested. I'll be visiting you in the county jail. No, you get dressed, don't you? And he says a Christian needs to get dressed in the morning before he ever leaves his home with Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the mind of Christ. Put ye on the spirit of Christ. I'm dressed and I'm ready to go. Amen? Because I put me on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, put on the new man. Wait a minute, isn't that automatic, Paul? Nope. Nope. Your will is involved. Put ye on the new man, and which is, and put off the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then we'll move on. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is Paul's final chapter. He'll get beheaded by Nero at Rome after he writes this chapter. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. There's only one way that you and I can live a victorious Christian life. And it's not by your strength. You don't have enough strength to do it. Look at it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's what we need, sound doctrine. But after their own what?
Lusts.
Now, time out, church. Is Paul speaking to lost people or saved people? In 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Saved people.
The church, right? He says, but after their own lusts, indicating that they're still there in the body. We still got them. After their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, preachers, having itching ears. You want a preacher that's going to tell you what you want to hear? And tell you to live like the devil all week and then come to church and praise the Lord? You can have them, they're a dime a dozen. Wolves in sheep clothing. But they won't preach against your sin. You see that? They won't tell you that you need to yield to the Spirit, or else you'll be walking after the lusts of your flesh. Look at that. Now, go back with me to Jude. This is the key to overcoming the lust of the flesh, is the knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. We're not going to go there, but you read that this week. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 through 4. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. We escape through the knowledge of God. You have to have your nose buried in this book, beloved, in these evil days. Fourthly, quickly, he says they're boasters. Look at verse 16 again. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Oh, here we learn that these false teachers like to talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. They use enticing words and make a grand speech, but they don't live what they teach. See that? They're go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's what they do. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, look at this verse. Here's what they do. Verse 18. For when they, that's the these of Jude verse 16, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, that means worthlessness. I love the Holy Spirit. He says what they say is worthless. great swelling words. It's funny, make me think of the, you know, presidential addresses. You know, he gets up there, great swelling words of worthlessness. You know, look at it. They speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh. Now, let me say something before we read the rest of this verse. There are a bunch of guys out there and gals, Paula White, you know, that get behind pulpits and they allure Christians through the lust of the flesh. And you know what? It works. It really fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, she's so pretty. I want to listen to her preach and I just want to fantasize, you know. And oh, you mean I can name it and claim it? Help, wealth, and prosperity. I'm going to send you my tithe. Yeah, send me your $1,000 seed money. Look at it. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, not through the Holy Spirit. Through much wantonness, that's sexual desire. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Those are Christians who've been saved. And they escaped the world, and now they're getting in bondage to these false teachers. You got to get a hold of this, folks. These guys, their ministries, they have worldwide. Benny Hinn?
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh, forget that.
Yeah, you know it, man. There's no way I'm going to listen, sit there and listen to that guy push people over. It's ridiculous. He'll be slain in the spirit. The guy doesn't move. Whack! He smack him down, you know?
There goes his white suit.
Okay, back to our text here. They want to suck you in, is what they want to do. Fifthly, almost done. Jude reveals their true intent. Look at verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, here Jude reveals their true intent. He's saying they are respecters of persons for personal gain. What can I get out of this person? How much they got in the bank? I wonder how much you can give to this church. You know it. You know it. There's a lot of guys on TV that do that.
Bushy eyebrows, and he's always looking to send $1,000.
Yeah. Seed money. I want your seed money.
He looks like the devil.
Oh, yeah. He is the devil. Trust me. You know, we laugh, but it's not funny. It's really sad. This is what we've come to. And Christians fall for it. I scratch my head and I say, Lord, where is the discernment? Where is the Holy Spirit? How can God's people swallow these lies of the devil? It boggles my mind. But if you're not in that book and on your knees every day, you will fall for that garbage. Yeah. That's what it is. Personal gain. James chapter 2. Hold your place in Jude. We're coming right back to finish up. James chapter 2. Just after Hebrews, James chapter 2. My brethren, saved people, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly, your church, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You know what I love about this church? You all reach out to the poor. You do. I love that about you. You reach out to the poor, you reach out to the feeble, you reach out to the handicapped. You reach out to those who Jesus would reach out to. Yeah. Amen? Look at it. He come in also in poor, vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Probably is gay. And say, sorry, I couldn't resist. And say unto him, no. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. Hey, we'll give you the $20 seat. We'll give him the 50-cent seat, right? And say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? See, that poor guy, he's way richer than that rich guy, if you get that. And heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him. 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, don't make the mistake of having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Back to Jude, verse 16. That's what they do. They want to get something out of that person. They want to use that person. 2 Peter chapter 1, down around verse 3, it says they want to make merchandise of you. Yeah. Now somebody tell me, what do you do with merchandise? Don't you sell it? Don't you get paid something for it? That's what they want to do. They want to make money off of you. But finally, sixthly, the apostle tells us what we need to do. I like this. Back to Jude. Look at verse 17. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Here's the key to our daily victory. Listen carefully, beloved. The words which the inspired apostles have spoken or written in the New Testament, duly remembered and reflected upon, are the best and only preservative against dangerous errors and sinful pitfalls for every true believer. the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's what we need. Not Reader's Digest. Not the Union Leader. With the words of the Bible. He's saying you and I need these words of Scripture in order to overcome the errors of the wicked and to maintain a godly, Spirit-filled life of victory in Jesus Christ. Hear what I said? These words will do that for you. I can't do that for you, but these words can do that for you. Do you love this book?
Yes.
Do you treasure your Bible?
Yes.
Folks, we need to have this word, these words of the inspired writers of Scripture coming into us, feeding our spirit every day. It will give us victory. This book, brethren, is our victory. Verse 16, we'll finish up. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these words. Lord, how we thank you that we have fallen in love with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am so glad tonight that, Lord, I've got a church here full of people that are in love with this book. They love the author of this book. They love the spirit of this book. They love the Savior of this book. Lord, I love them because they love you. And I am so thankful tonight that we have present tense, possessive, victory through the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just that simple, Lord. It's not rocket science. I have no magical formula, but I've got the Word of God. And it worked. The Word works. Thank you for it tonight. And Lord, these, as Jude labels them, these, who have not the Spirit of God, who walk after their own ungodly lust, they need Jesus Christ. And Lord, we need to seek to win them, O God, to thee, before it's too late. Because time is running out, as Sister Ellie said. There's no time left. The trumpet's about to blow. The rapture's about to hit. We're about to take off from planet Earth. Glory to God. Bless us, Lord, and use us in these last days of the last days as your holy servants. And we'll thank you for all that you'll do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved. And let's stand for a final closing hymn tonight. Here's what we need. Go to hymn number 12. Hymn number 12. This is what, folks, I want to encourage you tonight to pray more than you've ever prayed before in your daily prayer closet. Because I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to get it done is prayer. Right. Sweet Hour Prayer. Hymn number 12. And we're going to sing the first and the second. Oh, praise the Lord. For the privilege of prayer. Aha! 29. That's awful strange, isn't it? That is 29. Huh. Oh, I see what it is. 21. I'll get there, church.
Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Rouse me from a world of care and meet me at my Father's throne. All my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief, my soul found relief. Oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall mine.
petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless.
Amen!
Incense it bid me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace. I cast on him my every care, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Oh, glory to God. Please be seated, church, as we go right immediately to our time.